County tonight for the day tomorrow.
Oh, yeah.
There you go.
Call to order. Castle County Council Executive Meeting, July 14th, 2015, 4 o'clock. President of Council Members Sheldon, Cartier, Holland, Smiley, Weiner, and Dillon. And I'm Chris Bullock, Anthony. The theory is taking notes today. Approval minutes from June 23rd.
Motion approved.
Second?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Ayes have it. R15-125, reappointing Dolores McLam to the Newcastle County Diversity Commission. Mr. Smiley?
Yes, Ms. McLam continues to be an ongoing asset to Diversity Commission, and I don't see any reason why that will change. So I urge her reappointment.
Thank you, Mr. Smiley. Any comments or questions regarding Diversity Commission nominee? Seeing none, we shall move on. Joining us, Councilmember Kilpatrick. Agenda item number 4, ordinance 15-067, amend the pay plan and rates of pay for non-union unclassified service role office employees, adjust the pay grades for the Chief Deputy Register of Wills and the Chief Deputy Recorder of Deeds. That's mine, and I'm going to toss it to HR. Ms. Dunning, please.
Christine Tackett is joining us. Human Resources. As you're aware, you had seen this previously before presented for council because you had approved the last budget cycle the class specification for the Recorder of Deeds and Register Wills Chief Deputies.
Yeah, powerful meeting,
under the advice of what council wanted to do, they considered their departments and during budget time had placed this in their budget to go forth before council, which it was approved. The exact financial implications, I'm probably going to defer here to the finance department if you have any questions on that.
Any questions for Ms. Dunning or finance? Councilman?
Yes, Cartier. I'd like to know the financial impact, please.
Fiscal.
Ken Melody for the finance office. The fiscal effect of the 2016 budget will be $16,155, and those funds were included in the proposed budget by the Recorder of Deeds and the Register of Wills when it came before council in the spring for their budget proposals. So those funds are included. No additional funds need to be appropriated.
What was that number again, Ed?
For 2016, the fiscal impact would be $16,155.
Okay.
And again, those funds have been approved in the FY 2016 budget.
Thank you. Mr. Smith?
Yeah, I'd just like to thank the IS Department and Finance Department for getting the fiscal note calculator repaired over there.
Thank you. Anything else?
You did it right.
Thank you, Ms. Dunning and Ed Miller.
Thank you.
Agenda item number 5, ordinance 15-070, to amend the pay plans and rates of pay for unclassified employees of county council. Mr. Smiley?
Yes, I will be moving to have this table.
Thank you. This will be tabled tonight. Agenda item number 6, substitute to number 1 to ordinance 14-089, status tabled to amend Newcastle County Code Chapter 2, Administration Article 5, Departments and Offices Division 2.05.500, Department of Administration, Section 2.05.503, Office of Finance, to clarify county investment law. Ms. Kilpatrick.
This is going to remain on the table, as is the next one.
Thank you. For the record, substitute number 1 to ordinance 14-090 will remain tabled as well. Mr. Bob Jamieson is here tonight to give us a legislative briefing. Mr. Jamieson, would you please take the chair?
Thank you, Mr. President. Good afternoon, members of
council. Good afternoon, Mr. Jamieson.
I don't know if you guys got the copy of the report I sent out.
I'll pass it.
Okay. The 148th General Assembly began on January 14th, 2015. It's the first year of the two-year session. What I'm going to do is go through bills that we monitored or lobbied for against for Newcastle County. And then at the end, I'm going to talk about the three money bills, the budget, the bond, and the grant aid. First bill is House Bill 11. This was a bill that passed the General Assembly. It's waiting for the governor's signature. Representative Briggs King had brought this out last session, just didn't make it until the end. So she brought it out first thing January, and it passed June 30th. It provides another level of protection for our paramedics, specifically when they can't get a consent for service. It's modeled after similar legislation in Pennsylvania and Virginia. I talked to our medics. They said it was a good bill. They already felt they had adequate protection here in Delaware, but it wouldn't hurt to have another level. So that bill, I'm sure, will be signed by the governor in the upcoming days. House Bill 35, Spiegelman, passed in the House. It's in the Senate in the committee. This one we got a little, some of us got confused on. Janet knows about this. When the bill first came out, it talked about tax credit for a demolition fee assessed by a county or local government after a natural disaster. What happened, this Rep. Spiegelman in his district, they had a little mini tornado go through, did some damage. And when some of the homeowners went to get a demolition permit, they were upset that they had to pay Kent County. And he came up with this idea to get a tax credit. We thought it was a county tax credit. Turned out, if we had read it more adequately, it was a credit on their income tax. But we did attend the hearings. Councilwoman Kirkpatrick was there. And Kent County was opposed to it. But right now, it's just stalled in the Senate. I don't know, but I doubt if it'll go anywhere over there. House Bill 51 is Larry Mitchell's, passed by the General Assembly, signed by the governor on June 30th. He set up a violent crime fund several years ago. It's up to about $3 million now. It's based on a $15 assessment on traffic offenses and criminal offenses. What this bill did was add on civil offenses. So we're estimating for the county police, it's going to add another $75,000 to $100,000 in the upcoming year to the $300,000 plus we already get in this violent crime fund. And it's for overtime, basically, and equipment. Senate Bill 61, this was one the police department supported. It just has to do with the mandating of helmets of people under 18 years of age on the ATVs. That was passed and waiting to come. One bill I missed that I should have added here was Senate Bill 83. That's the domestic violence bill. I think you guys passed that resolution in favor of that.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
It was Margaret Henry's mm-hmm. bill. Just about everybody supported that, except for the NRA. And that passed the General Assembly, and it's waiting for the governor's signature. House Bill 85, this bill was introduced last General Assembly, passed the House, and died in the Senate. It's a tax intercept for unpaid school and property taxes. It's actually a good bill. The problem is it's just where it's coming from. For some reason, Short just can't get his bill through the Senate side. But right now, it's just out of committee in the House. Senate Bill 130 was Harris McDowell's. That was laid on the table in the Senate. When it first came out, we read it as a transit-oriented development district that would be mandated to enter into agreements with the county and local governments in DelDOT and kind of give them free rein on zoning, so there was some concern over that. And that bill has been amended to make it voluntary. So if Newcastle County or whatever particular municipality wants to opt into it, they can. If they don't want to, they don't have to. It's my understanding is it's geared towards these downtown districts, Dover, Wilmington. Senate Bill 137, that's the Deltech Community College infrastructure property tax. Came out of the Senate committee. They kind of walked it around in our room when I had a committee hearing. And it was on the agenda in the Senate, and then it got yanked. I'm hearing there's not a lot of support for it, but it's out there. House Bill 171, that was Bennett's from Dover area. This bill addressed property tax on telecommunications equipment that was generated by Verizon. Initial bill created, it did three things. It created a task force, which it just had a task force that met for several years and didn't resolve anything. So we created a new one. It capped tax payments at 2015 rates. And then in 2018, it totally eliminated the tax. They call it the wire tax. It has to do with hard line copper wires that they run. And for Newcastle County, it's estimated that would be a $1.7 million loss. So we opposed it. So did the other counties. Verizon backed off. They agreed to amend it. The only thing that remained was the cap at the 2015 rates, which if you talk to anybody that knows a lot more than I do about this, it really sounds like that's the highest rate it's ever going to be anyway, because they're not doing the hard wire stuff. And it's self-reporting to begin with. So I don't think we lost anything by agreeing to this 2015 cap. It would be incumbent upon all the counties to get together and come up with some solutions. I think we're one of the few states or counties that don't have some kind of franchise tax. I mean, the guy from Comcast was at the one hearing, and he doesn't pay anything here. And he was complaining about Virginia and these other states where the counties and the municipalities have all got together and come up with uniform rates. It's a revenue source. It's not fair that Verizon pays and they don't. That's something that ought to be addressed.
Sure.
I'm going to talk about the money bills, they call them, the budget bill, bond, and grant aid. The initial budget bill took away 5% of our real estate transfer tax from the counties and the local governments. That was the original House Bill 225. The tax was restored under the substitute bill on the last day of session. The other significant note in that budget bill for Newcastle County was the removal of animal control. It's a agreed to slow process. It's not automatic tomorrow. They're totally taking over. It's as the contracts expire that currently exist between the counties and the animal welfare shelters. But eventually the state's going to be solely in charge. We did get a guarantee in writing that our cost, we're still going to pay the same amount we're paying right now for the service. It won't increase next year, and then after that, it's going to be subject to dog fighting, meetings.
County fighting.
Yeah. Bond bill, substitute number one for 160. The bond bill, the first bill, the Senate Bill 160, like the budget bill, did a lot of cuts. They took farmland out altogether. There were some other things they just totally chopped out. And when they did the substitute bill, which was about 3 o'clock in the morning of the last night, they put a lot of this money items back in. One of them was the $3 million for the farmland. And we got $2 million for the Route 9, 13 at a library. Grant aid, that's when I thought for sure we were gonna lose 5%. Everybody was saying that. And when they did the pass-throughs in the budget bill, they did cut them 5%, and they never did restore them. So there were some nonprofits that did take a hit in the budget bill. But in the grant and aid, what they did was restore everything to last year's level. So paramedic funding was restored. The police athletic league received the same amount we got last year, so we didn't get cut at all. So I kind of broke down the financial summary. This is estimated funding provided under the past legislation. The paramedic shares, this is based upon 2015. It's going to be about $4.5 million. Of course, the library, we got $2 million for this upcoming year. PAL, we got 183.6. The violent crime fund, we think we're going to get about 100,000 extra besides the 300,000. Might even be higher, depends on how that turns out. Farmland preservation, I have no idea. I know you guys were just discussing it. But there's $3 million at the state level available. And then the, so that brings up to about $6,783,000 for 2016. The proposed losses to Newcastle County that were not enacted would have been the real estate transfer tax, which is about $8 to $10 million. And that would have been effective July 1, 2016. The telecommunication tax loss, which would have been effective 2018, of $1.7 million. Paramedic service estimate, if they had gone with the initial cut, would have been about $800,000, about $10,000 for PAL. So I say conservatively, over the next couple of years, if all those cuts had stayed intact, we would have lost $10 to $12.5 million, and I suspect it would be not. Any questions?
Mr. Smiley.
Yeah, Mr. Jones, I just want to say, it would be nice to get updates from you during the legislative session.
Yeah, I think.
I mean, we usually get them, we get nothing from the lobbyists. I mean, it would be nice if we got updates just so we know, you know, what is, for instance, the tax intercept.
Right.
If that was going anywhere, was coming, you know, to a committee, would be nice to know that in advance as you can get. We realize the state legislature doesn't work on a 7-day notice like we do, but it would be nice if we could get updates ongoing. On the animal control, I guess we need to take a look at exactly what the transition is supposed to be like, because if we're codified at our rate now, subject to increases later, then we might want to increase the dog licensing fee before the state takes control, because they're sure not going to have the stones to do it. Just an observation.
Joining us, Mr. Bale.
Thank you, Mr.
And Mr. Tackett, Councilman.
You know, I don't know if they can answer. When does the current dog control contract end? Are we under the year to extensions now? Do we know?
I think it ends in about a year and a half. I do want to share, I got notification that our current provider voted the other night or two nights ago to end it unilaterally on their own and all animal control on September 15th. That'll put us in a terrible position. They just voted on that, apparently. So I don't know that we even have the ability to take it up.
So they have the ability to just break the contract?
60-day notice.
I'll bring the ordinance, write the trap, shoot, and hang.
Anything else for Mr. James? Mr. Wine,
question number
one.
Follow-up for Mr. Grimaldi. What are the options, or I guess, do we have any options post-September 15th for animal control?
I think the options are somewhat limited. We haven't received official notification yet. But I got it from one of the board members.
That's going to be a challenge.
Thank you. I participated with the administration and with fellow council member Janet Kilpatrick in working on heading off the taking away of the half a point in transfer tax to this county. I worked on my Facebook, my social media to generate calls to legislators. But I can just tell you, and I mean, correct me if I'm wrong, sir, that issue is going to revisit us in the next budget cycle with state government. State government is not doing well financially, and I think that there is a real operating consensus in the it's in the Democratic caucus with Democrats that I am working with, through my state senator, my state representative, to basically, you know, go back to that issue. So we were able to fight it off this year, but it doesn't mean next year it won't come back. And you know, the state is trying to find new revenue sources. They've got entitlements that are eating into their bottom line, Medicaid and schools, and you know, their revenues are more or less flat or stagnant. So we're going to be in this, you know, kind of like struggle over the revenue sources for the county for the foreseeable future. And I think, you know, there's some that these legislators I work with have very little sympathy for our situation. So.
Yeah, and it kind of varies by location. Some of the Sussex County legislators are really big on taking back money from the counties because Sussex County is in excellent financial shape. They haven't raised taxes since the 70s. They got a lot of money. They don't provide a lot of services. So we have to spend time sitting down, educating them, trying to get some of them up here this winter and see what all we do up here. They just don't realize the services that the county. But the money's a big issue. The governor wanted two things, and he got them right out of the chute. The cut in the real estate refund, which is another big Sussex County issue, because they see it as out-of-staters are coming down here. They haven't paid property taxes for their whole lives, like most of us that have lived here. And now they come down here, they buy a house at the beach, and they get a refund of $500 on their property tax. They don't like that. And but it didn't go anywhere. And then the other one was the employees' health insurance. That was another big issue. And that was a more bitter fight over that, but they both died in the first couple of months. And then it was like, until the last week of June, nothing was happening, you know. And then they just said, okay, we're going to send a message and start cutting. And that's what happened.
And we are the only county in the state that fields a police force.
Yes.
And it's 73% of the transfer tax dollars go to our public safety function, a lot of it to police. And Sussex, again, got by with a big subsidy to their state police that they hire under contract from the state to do the local police function.
Yeah, they got it back the last night. Mm-hmm.
Thank you. Just, I have another issue, but just on that issue, I mean, what certainly it doesn't come up to the dollar amount that we pay for public safety, but those other counties do have to hire, they have a contract with the state police. And up until like 2 o'clock, 2:30 that morning, there were 22 state police that were going to be cut. Mm-hmm. And the agreement is they each pay half, and if one doesn't have their half, then those 22 get laid off. So it's not that they don't have public safety dollars, and that was part of it, is that the state police would be thinner because if the municipalities couldn't pay for a third shift, the state police were going to have to take that over. If the contractors and the counties for the state police, if they didn't have the full money, then the state police were going to have a completely different disbursement, which then affects everybody, including New Castle County, because with our agreements, we certainly are covered in places like shopping centers and schools by state police. But what the one thing that I wanted to bring up, and we may have talked about this before here, is that the telecommunications tax, I mean, and Bob is correct that they believe that right now it's the highest that it's going to be, and this is going to be declining as we go through the years. We need to make sure as a county that we are at the table for the discussions that take place on how we are going to change that taxation, whether it becomes a franchise tax, because in 10 years down the road, we're going to be sitting in a building this size, and they're going to be running everything out of this building. There are not going to be any towers. There's not going to be land that the towers are being built on. It's all going to just be up in the clouds someplace that we probably can't even imagine at this point. But we need to figure out a way that if they provide a service, run a business in this county, that somehow we need to get a tax on that. Comcast gets nothing. Verizon and AT&T are getting taxed, but that's, you know, as we said, this is going to be declining. So we need to make sure that we are at the table while this is being discussed. We had a discussion down there about the fact that Sussex, Kent, City of Dover, they all charge a local tax on these utilities, and we don't. And the word that came down was nobody fought those, even if they didn't believe that they had home rule to do it, nobody fought those areas because they don't have enough towers to make a difference. If New Castle County would just do it on their own, we would most likely have a lawsuit on us because we have enough towers that it would be a major difference in for somebody like Verizon and AT&T. So we need to make sure, Bob, that whatever comes of that, because I know there's not a task force, but I know that Bonnie said that we, the discussion will have to take place, and the people that were on the task force last time admitted that it went nowhere. It was a do-nothing task force because they didn't know what to do. But now we're down to kind of dire straits. We've got to figure it out before there's not a piece of copper left or a piece of steel left on the ground.
True.
Anything else for Mr. Jennings? Councilmember Weiner?
Yes. Does state law provide that if the towers come down, there's some sort of fund to pay for taking them down? If we're not using them anymore, then they have to maintain them, I guess. But what about taking them down? Do you know?
Not that I'm aware. I read that whole section too.
Yeah.
In my district, they'll steal it and sell it for scrap.
I just bring that up. It's a public safety and also an aesthetic, visual aesthetic issue that we've talked about for decades.
Yeah, I think that would be the company's responsibility now. If
well,
nobody takes them
yeah.
on.
Unless someone takes them on, they're going to just pass the buck.
You say that, Mr. Smiley, but you can ride down the roads now and you can see where the utility companies have put new wooden poles up. And the old ones are standing right there as an eyesore. Going into my community, there's two standing right there. I was in a guy's backyard the other day where Delmarva put up a nice new pole and hooked to it, but Verizon and Comcast won't fund the money, so they're literally hanging off of a broken old utility pole. And I'm trying to get them to move that. So, and they're much easier. I mean, they can saw them off at the ground. They're much easier than the steel.
Sure. Anything else for Mr. James? Thank you.
Thank you, sir.
Appreciate it.
Thank you, Council.
Thank you so much for your work. Agenda item number 9, discussion regarding Council portrait. Council Member White.
Oh, yes. Council has always had a portrait every 2 years, even when we haven't change members for historical archival purposes, and we have not done that during this two-year cycle. So just would like to see what would be a good date to do that. Of course, we have a process, too, that our policy director uses to send out bids.
What's the process, Mr. Boyle?
For all maybe true to life, I got to get some freaking airplugs.
I had more at the beginning of this two-year session than I got
now. Meeting who they prefer, and send out letters of solicitation to those particular photographers. The last two times we used Creative Images, they've done a pretty good job. Basically, I pulled the specs from the last time we did it, which was 2013, okay, for when Council President Bullock arrived. And basically sent out the solicitation letters. Normally, the best time to do this, and we've been pretty successful, is doing this in September, October, which, you know, as the summer break will be over, and we'll go right into it. So just basically, just, you know, if we can, just get an agreement for us to go forward with this.
Well, I'm not going between Taggart and Cartier again.
Mr. President, would you entertain a motion to authorize? I make a motion that we authorize our county policy director to implement the two-year picture process.
Second.
Second on the motion.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Any against? Ayes have it. Mr. Boyle will enter into the process and get back with us. We'll take up a photo. Thank you, Mr. Weiner. I wouldn't wear it.
That's all we're picking up. We're all some straw hats.
Is everybody in that picture over there?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Just put a new black on the floor. Oh. Yeah, hang the same picture.
Anything under the copier? Anything under other?
Oh, me.
Yes. Councilmember.
I brought up before that I am bringing the veto override back tonight. Part of that discussion was that we really need to resolve this. And I would just like to say that I have talked to a variety of people, including the Attorney General's office and some constitutional attorneys, and the way to do this, the way to resolve this, is to go to court. And this is the only way. Another opinion is not going to matter. It just piles up the number of opinions that we have on every side. So if we are serious about this and we want this to be resolved and figure out what our standing is, what the administration's standing is, you go to judgment, you go for a declaratory judgment in court. So at some point, if this council is serious about it, that's going to have to be the discussion.
So what does it mean for your legislation tonight?
Well, nothing.
Nothing.
We're trying to get you to do that instead of this.
This is like the first step. I mean, we thought we had this under control. It got vetoed. So now we're going to bring this back again. But the real way to do this is to go to the court and get a declaratory judgment on this.
You negotiated that settlement right before the Civil War, didn't you?
You still having a conversation?
Yeah.
Back South Carolina?
Still trying.
Georgetown and some other.
But, you know, we've asked for opinions from law professors. We've asked for opinions from other law offices. We've sent something over to the Attorney General's office, and they don't give opinions to other governments. So if anybody is serious about this, this is the way to do it.
Council, want to weigh in? Councilman Cartier?
For the legally not so, well-versed, can we get an explanation of what a declaratory judgment is, please?
That would have to, I would... Oh, Ed's here.
Ed's here. Ed's
here.
I can
state your name, please.
Yeah, I'm Ed Danberg, special counsel. And we have the county attorney here as well. It's essentially an advisory opinion where you go to court and you get it presenting an issue to the court, and they can provide an opinion on it. It requires a certain immediacy to the problem and
ripeness.
The ripeness, which we have. I think that's a major issue. The court would declare yay or nay on the issue presented to them. And then you have a court judgment which is enforceable.
Okay. Follow on question. Which court would that?
Equitable relief is only Chancery Court.
And that, could they refuse to hear it?
Yes.
Could they refuse to?
If it doesn't meet the thresholds.
Okay, thank you.
Do you have questions regarding Councilman? Anything else? Councilman, anything?
No, I'm good. Aren't you happy?
I'm sorry.
I appreciate
Council. Did we note that he was going to kill me then?
I appreciate Councilman Kilpatrick bringing this up. I would ask, I anticipate what will happen at the end of this month, so I would ask that the first executive committee meeting in August, or beyond when you have it, that this issue be placed on the agenda for serious discussion by council.
I agree with that. How y'all feel about that?
I'm not sure we'll have a quorum in July, so.
Mr. Holland, you good?
Yes, I agree.
Mr. Bell?
I'm fine.
Mr. Taggart?
Thank you.
Yes.
Timmy, you good?
Yes.
Everybody on this side?
Yes.
Janet?
I'm good.
All right. We're good.
Hell, it's your agenda. Tell me, put it on there.
Well, you know, I want it to be.
Oh, you want to feel like you resolve something. Okay.
Okay.
Great job. Great job. Yeah, you got a consensus on your agenda for all of it. We're good.
That's rare here.
Far be it from me starting anything.
Anything else under other? Mr. Beck.
Mr. President, just for the record, and I just want to share this with everyone on council, that I did not appreciate the manner in which this emergency ordinance came about today when it deals with something that we've been dealing with for a long time and involves a great portion of my district, and without even just a professional courtesy of saying, hey, you know, this is the way I feel, this is what I got to do. I just, you know, you walk into a bee's hive, it's very apparent that there were folks that were here today because they learned that this was going to occur. And so I just want for the record that I didn't appreciate the manner in which this was handled today. And I would hope in the future that all of us show a little bit of courtesy and respect for one another when it comes to something like this.
Thank you, Mr. Bell. Anything else on the other? Mr. Tapp?
Just procedurally, I wanted to question. When something like this arises, how generally is it handled, like, from the staff-wise? I mean, I know we got the email from clerk of council that listed the numbers and just said, like, emergency ordinance, but it didn't attach it. So, you know, when you're just reading the email, I really wasn't sure what the emergency ordinance was, but what did I miss? And very likely, it might have been somewhere else that came out in another email, but I wasn't aware of it either. And I'll take the onus, it's probably my fault, but I just wondered procedurally where I might have missed it at.
Clerk, please.
That's the Garden Clerk of Council. The email went out indicating that it had been placed in all council member boxes. It was not emailed to you because it was a rush to get it out at the 12:30 mark. It has to be 6 hours in advance of the council meeting. So they were all placed in the boxes, and I know most of the aides were right on top of getting them out. So, you know, you could have gotten the information that way, but I listed, you know, each item without attaching them all because there was no time for that.
I didn't know. All right. I mean, there's no time, there's no time.
But they were placed in the box.
But they're typed in.
But we wouldn't get it till we get here, you know, I mean. But if you have no time, you have no time. I mean, not going to do me any good to sit here and bitch that I didn't have an email to me because you couldn't do it. So.
Yeah. Maybe we'll scan it.
Well, if she didn't have time, I mean, you can't do anything to get here. Yeah, I mean, I could have requested Valerie.
But what should happen is, I didn't have time to do that because I wasn't trying something in the situation. Each aide could scan it in and get it to him like that. You know, or even someone could call me and say, I need it scanned to me, and I would have done that. And just getting the email out, letting you know all these items are there, and getting them in the boxes, posted, which was the biggest thing downstairs and up here of the agenda, was the most important thing.
Anything else on the other? Public comment.
Motion to adjourn.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Thank you.